praise the living God.
Amen.
You're beautiful, you're handsome.
Amen.
You're rich.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is nothing you cannot have.
Amen.
No place you cannot go.
Amen.
No one you cannot meet.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing you cannot be.
Amen.
Nothing you cannot create.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Rejections are not your portion. That's rejection in jobs.
Yes.
If someone is meant for you, they won't reject you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Gentlemen, say amen.
Yes.
Ladies as well, eh?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
We speak against visa rejections.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, eh?
Yes.
Negative reports medically.
Yes.
We speak against them in the name of Jesus. Eh?
Yes.
Everything turns around for your good, eh?
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
May the words that were spoken over your life begin to unfold. Yes. When you, by the way, feel free to shout it.
Yeah.
Someone, they came to me, they told me, Rabbi, sometimes when you minister some things, I want to jump up and say, my sweet Jesus. But because everyone else is quiet, I'm like, So, feel free to shout, but don't shout for too long. Eh? You might distract me. Eh? The prophetic flows a lot with shouting. But,
eh?
Amen. But the teaching anointing likes silence. Eh? But I'm giving you permission. Once in a while. Eh? Not all the time. Eh? Otherwise, you'll distort me. Praise the Lord. Eh? There's good news everywhere for you. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
May you have gold in your hands.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Eh?
Yes.
Huh? I sensed someone who is going to court over something. Eh? May everything turn into your favor.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Eh?
Yes.
All those things they've spoken against you, lies people have said about you, even if the things they're saying are true. Huh? May it turn around for your favor. In Jesus' name. May people see you walk down the aisle.
Hmm?
May your dress flow long enough for people to remember. Huh? Not these ones that are short. Eh? Long enough for people to remember that wedding. May he put a ring on your finger that can be seen from a distance. In Jesus' name. We speak to fruitful wombs. In the name of Jesus Christ. Eh? Praise the living God. There is nothing you cannot have. Praise the Lord. That having been said, I want to teach. Eh? I want to teach. Eh? And let's see where the Lord takes us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Eh? You know that don't feel bad sometimes when there's no one around you and you find yourself secluded and you feel like you're the only one going through something. Eh? You know, egos don't move in clusters. When you're rising, an ego moves alone. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so sometimes the Lord will move some people around you.
Yes.
So that you can rise.
Yes.
May that be your portion.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to take you. I'm sure this will be two parts. Because I don't think I'll finish. In fact, I'm certain I won't. I want to teach on the first and the last Adam, eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? By the way, I came in here without a word. Eh? And that's the most amazing thing about a minister. The Lord just deposits it in your spirit. And someone will say, he's unserious. What kind of man of God is this who comes unprepared? The most important thing is that your spirit must be prepared. Eh? So let's go. Let's see what the Lord wants to teach us. Eh? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, the Bible says. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Next verse. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Get me NIV. The spiritual did not come first. I think that will help some people. Eh? But the natural, and after that, the spiritual. Verse 47. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man was from heaven. Amen. Who should I start with? The first Adam or the last one? We go chronologically, yeah? Okay. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Image here refers to character, potential, ability. Likeness refers to form. Okay? So, the capabilities of God were given to man in terms of image. There are three major categories of the capabilities of God. He's omniscient, omnipresent, and is omnipotent. You have those categories in a measure. You're omniscient in a way because the Bible says by the unction from above, you know all things. Okay? Unction of the Holy One, you know all things. You can be present even when you're absent. Praise the living God. Eh? There's an ability in you to be omnipresent, not in the way God is, but you can be somewhere you're not. Okay? I don't want to go into that. Then, there's omnipotence. There's a power that we have. Eh? The reason the Bible refers to God as the Almighty is because they're degrees of power. Okay? And the all there is abbreviated for all, A-double-L, mighty. All power is in him. Eh? So man, I wish you knew where I'm going. Yeah? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Listen to me very carefully. There are territories, the different territories that exist. Earth is a territory. The spirit realm is a territory. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God is speaking here, he says, let us make man. And if you read, take me to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him. Male and female created he them. This event here happens in the spirit. Okay? So, the creation of male and female happens. How do we know that? Because when you go to Genesis chapter 2, we're back to creating the physical form of man, and female is not yet there. You with me? So, depending on you, but I'm telling you, this happens in the realm of the spirit. When God makes man in his image and likeness, in spirit and in form, as long as man remained a spirit, he had no authority to be on earth. Because earth is physical and is not made for spirits without bodies. They can roam around, but they have no authority unless they use a man. You with me?
Yes.
So man in Genesis chapter 1 is created, but in the spirit form. In that form, the territory that he has authority over is in the spirit realm. But not yet any authority over earth. To give man authority, in fact, give me Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7. Hebrews 1 and verse 7. We'll come back to this. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits. Let's keep it with NIV. In speaking of the angels, he says, he maketh his angels winds or spirits. Angels are spirits. Their realm of operation is in the spirit realm. You with me?
Yes.
His servants here are referring to men. Flames of fire, depending on who you ask. But I'll show you later that this scripture can actually refer to a man. He makes his servants flames of fire. When man was made in the spirit, he had no authority over earth until God gave him a body. Now listen to me very carefully. Angels are in the spirit world. We know they have a will. So there's a mystery there, because to have a will, you need to have a soul. You get what I'm saying? Eh? Okay. Man is made body, soul, spirit. Your soul is your intellect, your will, your emotion. And we know that angels have a will, because according to scripture, one of them decided to turn against God. So they have a will. So angels have a spirit and some form of a soul. Animals have a body and some form of a soul, but no spirit. You see? Because animals are self-conscious in a way. So they know I'm hungry. Actually, if you talk, some animals are more intellectual than others. A parrot will repeat everything you say. Yeah. You tell a dog, you train a dog, and he learns tricks. So animals have some form of a soul. It's not as formed as ours, but there is some form of intellect in there, depending on the animal. All right?
Yeah.
Now, actually, if you look in Ecclesiastes, we won't go there. It says the soul of the animal goes to the ground. Okay? That's what he says. For man to have authority on this earth, God made a body for him. All right? We're going to read it. When he made a body for him, he put a spirit inside that body by breathing a breath of life. All right? When he breathed into that body, because spirit and body are not compatible, man could not just be a spirit in a body. He had to have a soul.
Yeah.
You're getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that soul then allows both spirit and body to have compatibility.
Yeah.
On this earth. Eh?
Amen.
Praise the living God.
Amen.
I'm going to go very, very slowly. Very slowly, so that I get your attention. Eh? Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Have I made that clear?
Yes.
Huh? Mm. Genesis chapter 2. Start from verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array, because there are many levels of the heavenly realm. But there's one earth. Go on, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. By the way, it's important you understand that when the earth rotates around the sun for 365 days, what do we call that? We call that a year. Okay? When the earth rotates 24 hours, what do we call that? We call that a day. Are you with me? To be able to locate months, we use the moon for another day. Eh? Now, there is nowhere in all of creation that stipulates that there are 7 days in a week. We know that there are 365 days in a year, because the earth rotates. Right?
Yes.
We know that there are 24 hours in a day, because the earth rotates. You can know the number of days in a month based on how you study the lunar calendar. But there is nothing in creation that stipulates that there should be 7 days in a week. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And yet every religion, every faith agrees there's seven. I do get what I'm saying. And the only source is this. Because a being in the spirit rested. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
He rested on the seventh day, and everything finds its origin in terms of 7 days to this. You're with me so far, eh?
Yes.
That's just a by the way. So he finished, rested from all his work. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Go on. We're just going to go on. No shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth. No plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. So we agreed there was no rain in those days. Okay? The first time it rained was during the flood. That's why they found it hard to believe Noah.
Amen.
Not right. The next verse explains, eh? But streams came from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. So there had never been rain. All right?
Yes.
Verse 7. For some of you, you've heard me teach on this, but I need to lay foundations for people who might not know. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. There's a reason for this. Why God did not breathe into the mouth. Hi, Daniel, today. Okay, so he formed man from the dust of the ground. I need you to understand something. That when man was created, the major elements on earth are all in man. The major ones. What are the elements? Earth, water, air, fire. I can add another one, light. And so he picks earth, makes man, breathes into man a spirit. That's your wind. You with me?
Yes.
Man is 70% water. Yes? You with me?
Yes.
The Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. So there's light and fire inside you. Now the reason why that's important is because all of earth had to be linked to man for man to be able to control it. I wish you knew how important what I'm saying is. Do you know that man is 70% water? The earth is 70% water. You're allowed to shout. You're allowed to shout. So the earth is 70% water. Do you know that the bones in a man don't decay? They take years to decay if you just leave them there. They're like rocks. Do you know that because you're made of water, your eyes, let me give an example of your eyes. Your eyes have water in them. People of the spirit world know that if I need to hurt your body, these are the dark side, if I need to harm you, your flesh, I will ask for dust. Okay. That if I need to see through your eyes, I'll ask for water.
Let me talk.
I want to glorify the devil, yeah? But you see, I want you to realize that everything that has to do with spiritual crafting is not concocted. And before we go into teaching you about the supernatural, you must learn who you are. The other day I was somewhere on Wednesday, and I was explaining that before we go into the definition of identity, you must learn that your body was given to you by a spirit because it's part of your spiritual identity.
Amen.
You with me?
Yes.
Do you know, and I'll just throw it to you to just create hunger in you. Do you know that from a spiritual perspective, man can create with his mind, can create with his mouth, can create with his hands. There's very few people who actually know the power you have in your hands. And when I'm talking about creating, I'm not saying you get wood and form something. That's the lower level. If you knew that there's actually a power your right hand has that your left does not. And there's a reason why the Lord, when he's saying lay hands, it's not theoretical. There is a power a man has in the hands. And men of God who know what they're doing, when they're dealing with certain things in someone's body, they know which hand to lay where. Let me tell you, I was sharing with someone that if you knew that your right hand has a capacity to impart and your left has the capacity to withdraw, when you meditate, your energy, you don't see it, your light grows inside of you. When light grows inside of you and someone sick comes to you, when someone lays hands, that energy comes from you into them. So you're imparting your life into someone's body. And the other hand is removing the sickness. Now, I know what I'm talking about. And it happens in different ways, you see. And you know, some of you don't know why you do certain things, so you just copy it, which is okay. I'm trying to help you. And so a person will come. Impartation is usually with the right hand. I know what I'm talking about. Impartation is usually with the right hand. When someone is sick, you'll see most men of God lay both hands.
Yes. Amen.
Put in, remove.
Amen.
today. Now, in your house, that man is not different from, the man of God is not different from you. You're all men.
Amen.
Okay? Anyone sick in your house, even if it's you, first of all, I encourage you, take time to brighten your spirit. And when you do so, then lay hands. Ay, ay, ay. Another day. Let's move on. And so the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. Let's agree. God created the planet. In the planet, he plants a garden. And that garden is planted in a place called Eden. That's what he's saying. And that garden was in the east. There he put the man he had formed. So he formed man outside of the garden. Formed him from outside. Picked that man, lifeless. And put him into the garden. Now, what that tells us, for those who have been with me enough, you'd know, is that the earth itself was divided into three. There was the planet, there was Eden, there was the garden. Again?
Yes.
There was the planet, the whole planet that God created. There was Eden, which here the Bible says Eden in the east. Huh? Then there was the garden in Eden. So there were three compartments. The planet, Eden, the garden in Eden. It was a foreshadow of the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Now, years later, when the Lord told Moses to build the tabernacle with an outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant was put inside the Holy. We go back to the garden. And in the garden, scripture says that God would come down to commune with man.
Amen.
Where most scholars will tell you it was at the tree of life.
Amen.
Because when Adam had moved to the tree of knowledge of good and bad, God asked, "Where are you?" You understand?
Yes.
Now, the reason why that's important is when the Ark of the Covenant was put in the Holy of Holies, its positioning was meant to foreshadow the tree of life.
Amen.
That's why God will come down and commune with the high priest.
Amen.
Just like he did.
Amen.
With Adam. Bible scholars, you're with me.
Yes.
Huh? Now, let's move on. Verse 9. I'm taking my sweet time. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. So from this scripture,
yes.
The trees came from the ground. You guys watch enough movies, eh? They came from the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We'll get to that. Verse 10. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. So there was one singular river flowing from Eden. And it says, from there it was separated into four pieces. Okay? And the Bible refers to those four. Next verse. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah where there is gold. Now, in that time, I'm trying to give you an imagery of the life that Adam lived. Gold was not underground. The guys, it was on top. Anyway, verse 12. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. Adam. Verse 13. The name of the second river is Gihon. This is present day. That's the ancient name for the river Nile. It runs through the entire land of Cush. Cush is Africa. Okay? You're learning something today. We're going verse by verse. I think that's the best way today. Okay. Verse 14. The name of the third river is the Tigris, which exists today.
Yes.
It's still there. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates, which also, though according to Bible prophecy, it will dry up.
Yes.
When you see that, and it's drying up, when you see it dry up, you know we're going home soon.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This work here, there was a work in the garden, but this work here was not the toiling kind.
Amen.
The reason is because everything that was created was not trying to fight against Adam. Imagine trying to take care of a ground and you just open and things just come out. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. And so verse 16, I'm jumping a lot of things. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. What this tells us is that man was not eating meat. Huh? It's not me, say. He did not say, and also chicken and what? Eh? He says, it was a command to eat from any tree in the garden. Verse 17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. And as you know, you've heard, I'm sure you've attended enough sermons everywhere. That you know that when man ate, he did not die instantly. That means there is a type of death. Or should I say there's a type of life that God considers death? Huh? Because Adam was still walking around. There are many dead people in the eyes of God walking around today. Okay? Next verse, 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. May it be your portion in Jesus' name. I will make a helper suitable for him. Oh, yeah, yeah. This year will be an on the relationship, whatever. Verse 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts. So the beasts were formed out of what? It's not me saying that. You see, it's there. They were formed out of the ground. And it says, all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. And it says, he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever man called each living creature, that was its name. And the understanding here is that I know some of you think that Adam sat and said, you're lion. I know that's what many of you, that's what you think. Eh? And you're giraffe. You look too big, you're hippo. Eh? That's not what it means. This here is referring to identity. Okay? So he gave these creatures identities. In the spirit, whoever names you has authority over you. Ay, 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 ay. Huh? Has some level of authority over you. That's one of the reasons the Bible says respect your father and mother. I was telling someone, with due respect, this is not, I was telling someone, my young brother, I told him that in China, the way they name people, they throw spoons on the ground and the sound that it makes. I don't think that's... I don't... So it... Wong! Oh, Lord! All the Chinese people, I'm sorry. Yeah? Anyway, so he names them. Eh? Verse 20. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. I'll show you later that Adam was not necessarily his name. Because in Genesis 5, verse, I think it's verse 3, it says, male and female created them and called them Adam. Actually, take me there. Genesis 5, eh? When Adam had lived 100 years, he had a son. His own likeness. No, start from verse 2. I think it's verse 2. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. The word there is Adam. Them, both of them. Today. So both of them are called Adam. Adam, in essence, can mean one of two things. Because what I'm going to go to next is, I'm going to throw to you, how do you think Adam looked like? Okay, so Adam can mean mankind, or it can mean black or red. All right? Because he was taken from the ground. The reason he's referred to as the first Adam is because he's the first mankind. There's a type of mankind that flowed through him. When the last Adam, not the second, the last Adam, him, There's another mankind. That came from him. That's why the Bible says, the old has gone, the new has come.
Amen.
You see? You're a new creation.
Amen.
So there's a new mankind. There were abilities that Adam had. There were abilities that Adam had. When Adam, first of all, let me explain something. When Adam was created, because he's the first Adam, the last Adam had to be similar to him.
Amen.
You're with me?
Yes.
If you met Adam, he had no navel.
Yes.
I thought it was logical, right?
Yes.
Huh? Because he has no mother. Eve would be the same. No navel. Okay? That's one. Number two, his blood was pure.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes?
Before the fall?
Yes.
His blood was pure. Because it was the first time blood had been put inside a man.
Yes.
The last Adam was similar.
Amen. Amen.
His blood was just as pure. More pure. Because it had no sin.
Yes.
You with me?
Yes.
And while this one had a father in the spirit, but no mother. This one had a physical mother, but no physical father. But he had a father also in the spirit.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So if you met Adam, he would have no navel. He would have pure blood. He would not be white. Can we agree?
Yes.
He would not be white. We'll teach on how white came in some other time, eh? But he would not be white. In fact, Adam begat Seth, Seth begat Enosh, Enosh begat Jared, Jared all the way up to Noah. There is no white. Apart, okay, we'll get there. You with me? In fact, all these guys from Genesis, from Adam all the way up to Noah, all of them are Gentiles. They're not Jews. Aye, aye. The Jews were birthed from Abraham. And so, I've taught this, that the Bible starts with Gentiles, is in between our Jews, then the end time move, Gentiles are back. It's a sandwich. Praise the living God.
Amen.
And there's a reason why I pray you get something from this.
Because
while you want me to talk about whatever issue you're going through, this is very, very relevant. Very, very important. Okay, let's go on. Verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into deep sleep. It is safe to presume that Adam had never slept. Yeah. I think today, one of these days I'll invite you guys for my personal Bible study, eh?
Yes.
Why? Because if Adam had slept before, there would be no need for God to put him into a deep sleep. Just wait for him to. Now, the question I ask someone is that when Adam was put to sleep, did he dream? Now, you see the questions that I ask, eh? Did he dream? And I want to show you the power of consciousness, because the Bible says, after he fell into a deep sleep, while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. I wish you could see in the spirit how this happened. Eh? I don't know how you guys think it happened. Eh? God does not use surgical. Eh? Anyway, verse 22. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. Let it say amen.
Amen.
He had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man.
Amen.
Verse 23. Here's the thing. The man said, this is now and flesh of my flesh. My question is, I thought he was asleep. How did he know? And there's nowhere in scripture where God, the Bible says he just brings her. And so we presume he wakes up. I saw someone saying, it doesn't say he woke up. What if we're still sleeping? Oh, my sweet Jesus. Rabbi, what if we're still in some form of matrix? Oh, my sweet Jesus. Anyway, so he woke up. Because the Bible says he said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. How would he have known that? Song of Songs 5 verse 2. I slept, but my heart. Now, I need you to understand that the original intent was never for man to have a state where they're asleep and they're not awake. The aim was that even when you go to sleep, are you with me? And so here what happens is that Adam, before the fall, is put into a deep sleep, but his spirit man. Is watching as it's happening. Do you know that based on this, when you go to sleep in your bed, most of us unconsciously rise out of our bodies. It happens unconsciously. But there is a conscious way to do it. Not for today. But it happens unconsciously. In fact, a lot of what happens to you happens unconsciously. Unfortunately. Unfortunately. But when you sleep, you awake. And I can assure you, some of you, the places you go in your dreams are actual places. You are still in your bed, but you're not there. And I'll explain this because in Ecclesiastes, as many of you Bible study guys know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Bible does talk about the silver cord that connects your body to your spirit, keeps your spirit connected to your body. So that when you go, you're like a balloon, eh? Huh? You're still connected. Should that thing snap? That's why the people used to come, Rabbi, I've been trying to get out of my body. I said, watch that thing doesn't snap. They can come and find you when you are like this. Praise the Lord. I'm joking a lot, but the things I'm talking about are very serious. Let's go back to Genesis. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. Now notice, before this, there had never been a father or a mother. You notice? God brings a woman to Adam. Then he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. There was a marriage that took place. There was a ceremony there taking place. Eh? And there were people present for another day. And they would become one flesh. Verse 25. The man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Now listen very carefully. I taught you last time that every animal that was created, its covering comes from within it. Remember? Yes. I explained, a chicken's feathers are not put on. They come from within. Fur comes comes from, who knows there are bears with feathers? You're saying no, you're carnal people. In the spirit, they are there. Anyway, so I explained that their covering comes from within, and I explained that Adam's glory was not put on him. It came from inside him and covered him. He was full of light. All right? And so apart from the fact that he has no navel and so on, yeah, he had a glory that was covering him, and it came from within. You're with me? If he was following the pattern of the last Adam, he would have been around 30 years old in terms of appearance. Ay, 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 ay. Because the other one, the last one, started ministry at 30.
Yes. Amen.
And everything that God created, he created in its fullness.
Yes.
So there were no eggs. Alright?
Yes.
So a chicken was created a chicken. Then it laid an egg.
Yes.
So it answers the question. What came first? The chicken? Yes, read your Bible. It is the chicken. It is the chicken that came first. Are you with me? And so God, the reason I've explained this, the reason he created everything in its fullness is so that there would never be a doubt of what something is supposed to be. So a woman is supposed to be a woman. You can't decide and say, now let me be a man. Everything is created in its full state so that there is no confusion. Are you with me?
Yes.
So he covers him. He's covered with glory. The Bible says, I'm jumping a lot of things now. The Bible says that Adam then eats of the fene. And when he eats the fene, the jackfruit, when he eats it, his glory fades. Actually, for lack of a better word, if you've watched movies, he has a light around him and it goes in. Zoop. That's how the spirit of a man becomes a candle of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Getting what I'm saying? So it's inside him. He sins. When he sins, because he's connected to all creation, everything starts dying. Everything dies. Even the rabbit, the what, all those things that did nothing around, yeah? But the Bible says all creation was subjected. So you understand? So it starts, everything starts dying. Adam, this is when we see the first sign of grace. Now, all this time I've been talking, I want you to understand that the Bible says in Revelation 13:11 that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the earth. So all this time this is happening, Jesus is dead and resurrected. Ah, yeah, now I've messed up some people. Go to Revelations 13:11. I want you to understand the mind of God. God never starts something that he hasn't finished.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says he will bring to accomplishment all those things concerning you. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. Revelation 13. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke... Verse 8. Revelation 13:8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of the life of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. So all this that I've been explaining to you, that's happening in the garden. Eh?
Yes.
Christ is slain. Meanwhile, he hasn't yet come into time. Now, this will confuse some people. So, and this is a deep mystery because we don't know how. How this happened in the spirit that the Lamb is slain, but the Bible says it that he had already died. Now here's what messes the devil up. He was defeated even before he began. Are you with me? He was already fighting a losing battle. You know, by the time he fell and all that, Christ is dead. You understand? So he sets out to cause chaos and all that, but the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says that two cherubim were put at the tree of life, with flaming swords all around it to ensure that man would never eat of the tree of life. Okay? In that state of sin. And the Bible says he was kicked out in the eastern side. I want you to understand, gosh, I'm skipping a lot of things, but I want you to understand that when God told Moses to make the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies had a veil. And that veil had two cherubim on it. I believe it's... I think it's Exodus 26:31. Should be Exodus. 26:31. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen, with cherubim worked into it by the skilled craftsmen. So, that veil that was in, that was guarding the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant was in, but there were cherubim that were on the curtain to symbolize what had happened in the garden. That's why I said the Ark of the Covenant symbolized the Tree of Life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So, I want you to understand that God follows patterns. And if everything in the past has followed a particular pattern, your life is not coincidental in nature. God is not suddenly surprised. She can't give birth. That doesn't happen. You understand? Now, that curtain is hanging. Oh, I wish you knew. It's hanging inside the temple, and it's a separation so that only the high priest can enter in. All right? You know, in your mindset, you think that that curtain was like silk, eh? And so you could just peep. Eh? No. It was, now, my hand is small, eh? But it was the width of an average man's palm. That's the curtain we're talking about. That's the width.
Amen.
An average man's palm. That's the width. That's why it splitting from top to bottom was a miracle. Hey. I'm trying to open up scripture for you, eh? Do you know that when they made that curtain, when they made it, they wove it together, it had all its colors that symbolize whatever they symbolize for another day. They would then get horses on each side, and the horses would pull. And they would check to see if it can. It took 300 men just to hang that curtain. So when you see it split, then I say, ah, so what? Someone could have just torn it. That's not the case. Are you with me? I'm trying to make this very real to you to understand why certain things happen the way they did. Okay? Let me jump. So Adam is kicked out. If you read through the Bible, there is a city referred to in, I think it's Joshua 3:14, as the city of Adam. I love the faces of, oh my God, what is that? But it's the direction when Adam left to go east, he goes and makes a city. Actually, if you go to Israel, it's still there, though it's very tiny. The city of Adam. So he goes now. Civilization now is fallen. Sin has entered the blood. It's also in the flesh. Every child that is born after that, though they live long, all right? As the generations pile on, death takes its toll. Okay? Its toll, sorry. Now, people become younger and younger unless you have a revelation. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, according to scripture, when God created the earth, before he created man, the Bible says in Psalms 33:6 that he breathed out the heavenly hosts. Okay?
Yes.
So they were breathed out, their spirits. He breathed them out. When they were breathed out, they were there to sing for joy. Huh? When man was created. Eh? So they were there singing when God created the universe and everything in it. The Bible refers to angels initially as the sons of God. Yes? In Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God had intercourse with the daughters of men, gave birth to Nephilim. So angels were referred to as sons of God. Right?
Yes.
After Lucifer fell, the title of Son of God was given to man. Now, please understand, Adam is not the first man. He's the first man made in the image of God. I will teach it some other day. But all that is in the Bible. The same Bible we've all been reading, eh? But Adam was not the first man. Adam was the first man made in the image. Okay? So, he now makes Adam. According to Luke chapter 3, Adam is referred to as the Son of God. You with me?
Yes.
So first it was angels. Now it's man. Sons of God. If you read through the traits of scripture, as man continued to fall, God switched his focus now to nations. And so he calls Israel. Israel is referred to as my firstborn son.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, Israel continuously, you know there's a trait here, eh? Israel continuously falls short. So God later sends his son and calls him the only begotten Son of God. The others were not begotten. And I will explain what that means. He's the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says in Hebrews that a body thou hast prepared for me. That means an eternal being who had existed for ages entered into a body of man. And this is why you need to understand why it was important for Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross was extremely important. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin. That's what it means. That's why if you read through the patterns of scripture, Moses lifts up a bronze snake, symbolizing, Jesus says it in John 3, he says, just like Moses lifted up a bronze snake in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. So it was a sign of a cross. In the book of Exodus, marks are put on the door, a sign of the cross.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So far, you go back and listen. I'm winding up. We'll do part two some other time. Now, when Jesus comes onto earth, for 18 years, divinity was amongst sin. Please understand, his blood was pure. It was a different kind of blood. It was red. not green, eh? But it was blood, yes. But it was absent of sin. In the book of Leviticus, I think it's a scripture the Lord had shown us. 24:16. Leviticus 24:16. Take me there. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him. Whether an alien here is not your alien, eh? Yeah. An alien or native born, when he blasphemes the name of the name, he must be put to death. Now, this explains to us, you know, in the New Testament, Jesus was called a blasphemer. And according to scripture, he was supposed to be taken actually to the temple, in front of the temple, and stoned. And after being stoned, I don't have the time to, they would then burn the body. But God could not allow that to happen, because if Jesus was stoned and burnt, he would have no evidence of marks. Are you with me?
Yes.
So when he resurrected, he said, touch me.
Yes.
So that's why every time they tried to throw him off a cliff, tried to what? They just couldn't. And I want you to understand the power of that. Men had spoken long before he came. And those prophetic words guard the life of a person.
Yes.
Now that is the same about you. And I need to... Someone says... The Spirit of the Lord says that at the age of 40, you will be a millionaire.
Amen.
Then you still, 22, you're jumping on a board and saying, "Hey, Father, protect me." You guys. Men had spoken continuously. It's actually, I'll show you some other time when I'm teaching on envisioning and speech, that for years before Jesus showed up, God showed prophets things. And as long as every prophet spoke, the law in the spirit is When you speak, something comes into what? And so here he is, he shows up. Not because by the volume of the book it is written. Not just because of that. But because people spoke. And spoke. And something manifests. Now, when he manifests then, he can't die by stoning. Actually, I believe that he wasn't trying very hard to, no, you won't stone me. No, you won't. You understand? The Bible says he just walked. And for those of you who have been around, you know that he walked through. Amen. Through them. Amen. I've been trying to learn that thing. So he walked through them. He could not die that way because he had to have marks on his hand. He had to have a testimony that death had been defeated. Amen. Praise the living God. Amen. And so that's why the cross was necessary. That's why the way it was. Blood had to flow. It had to flow. Amen. Hey. Now, quick. I'm winding up with this. So we had the first sons. The first sons were the angels. Then Adam, the first son. Then the nation. Okay? Then he sends his only begotten son. The Bible says, Matthew 27, verse 33. I've done an they call this an exegesis. Huh? They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the whose skull? Yeah. And that's why, because if you've been around, you know that God never does things randomly. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 17, verse 54, David, after killing Goliath, the Bible says he takes the head and buries it in Jerusalem. He buries it in Jerusalem. Amen. The head of Goliath was buried in Jerusalem. Now, years later, Jesus, the Son of God, comes and is being crucified on this whose skull? In Aramaic, Golgotha, Goliath of Gath. Okay? Now, he's on that cross. And blood flows through his body. Underneath his feet is the head of the seed of the serpent. Because when the sons of God had intercourse with the daughters of men, gave birth to Nephilim, who are the seed of the serpent, and Goliath was a giant. And so, the prophecy, the very first prophecy in the Bible, the seed of woman shall trample upon the head. Now, comes into fulfillment. And the Bible then says that there's an earthquake. And then darkness. Guys, I'm trying to show you that nothing ever exists on its own. People played a part. I wonder, you know, I would love to meet David and ask him, when you were burying this head, did you know? Do you know, I've been to Israel. Because I told you where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the temple was, and the Ark of the Covenant was where the Tree of Life was supposed to be. And the Bible says in Genesis, we read it, that both the Tree of Life and the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Bad were in the middle. Both of them. There's a scripture that says that cursed is he who hangs on a tree. There was a curse for any man that is hanged on a tree. Alright? That's why, actually in Acts 5, I think 30, Peter says it. He says he was hung on a tree. Okay, take us there, Acts 5:30. Yay! Yeah, hanging him on a tree. You see that? He was hung on a tree. The reason why this, I want you to understand the mind of God. Man lost his power at a tree, and he had to gain it back at a tree. today. The people are not shouting. What happened? Eh? So he had to gain it back at a tree. I've been to Israel. I've seen there are two vital gardens in the Bible. Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane, which was right near the area where the temple was. It was in that area in the Bible where Jesus, walking to a tree, said, "No man shall ever eat from you." Again, he's not just talking about the tree. He's going back to the past. Are you getting what I'm saying? Eh? And so he's standing in the place of the first Adam. And this time, he's saying, "No man shall ever eat from you again." It's like telling a story, isn't it? It's like a movie. One day I'm going to make a movie out of this. But I'm trying to show you that everything that happens in the Bible was following a particular pattern, and God is in control. If God was in control of the life of the Christ, he's in control of your life. I haven't even gone into the fullness of the last Adam yet. I'm just still touching on that first Adam. Just touching him. And the influence he had and why Jesus did the things that he did. Praise the Lord. The cross is at the heartbeat of everything we are. At the heartbeat of it. And I want you to understand that just as God followed a pattern to get, and there's a song I love, we used to sing it back at school. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart were rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. The cross, the power of that day. History starts counting from that point. It is at the middle, the center of time. The ripples that crossed. People before Jesus were celebrating in paradise. And people after are celebrating because of that pinnacle point where men played their part. If I had time, next time, I promise, I've missed a lot of things. But the Bible is a spiritual book. It is not just stories concocted. There is no book like it. The patterns in it, the things that are hidden thereof. And when you begin to see them, sometimes I shout in the middle of the night. I'm like, what? That veil that stood in the temple was referred to as the hem of God's garment. That's what they called it. And remember the song by, I think it's Nicole C. Mullen, is it? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. You know it? Maybe I'm singing it badly, eh? But when the woman with a blood issue reached out and touched the hem of his garment, the Jews called that veil the hem of his garment because they believed when Isaiah was in the presence of God and saw the glory of God, he says, his glory filled the temple. You understand? Glory filled the temple. And that veil was a portion of that glory. Now something happened quickly. I should have taught this at Easter, but the Lord's timings are... The Lord's timings are his. Eh? When that veil tore, something in the spirit changed. I wish you understood. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus that a priest was not allowed to tear his garment. That's what it says, Leviticus, I think, 21. He's not allowed to tear his garment. And here he is, Caiaphas, the high priest, standing before Jesus. He says, "Are you the Son of God?" He says, "You say that I am." And tears his veil. Now, according to Leviticus, if a priest did that, he was no longer a priest. So he was disqualified. Now imagine, he's standing before the spiritual priest. Right in front of the spiritual priest. And he tears. He doesn't know what he's doing. Now you see, sometimes people do things in your life and you don't know the glory that you're carrying. Eh? They're just fulfilling things right in front of you, but you can't seem to interpret it. Huh? You know, someone stands before you and says, "You're fired." And in the spirit, that is just taking you exactly where God wanted you to be. But the enemy thinks that he's winning, eh? So the high priest tears that veil. He tears his garment. And right there and then in the spirit, the priesthood shifts. That's why later, some of you have, I've done a podcast on this. That's why later, Jesus died on Passover. Passover, they're supposed to be killing a lamb at 3 o'clock. But the high priest is there saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down." Why isn't he killing? Because he has torn, he has disqualified himself. He has no right. There was no one, and it took a process to get the next priest. So Jesus is on the cross dying. He's both the lamb and the high priest. Spiritual things, eh? The day you give your life to Christ, you don't see it, but in the spirit you go back to that day. And you stand before that cross. May you remember that all that happened was to give you the potential that the original Adam had before he fell. Amen. And no one is dying again. Amen. He is the last one. Amen. If Adam could fly, so can you. Amen. If he could name animals, so can you. Amen. If he could name any potential that he had, you now have. And here's the crazy thing. After the first Adam, there were men who did miraculous things. Joshua makes a son stand still. He's not called second Adam. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? Yeah? Moses lifts up his stick, a whole sea opens up. He's not called second Adam. Amen. Because the components of the Adam before he fell, these men cannot compare to yet. Amen. Only the last one, when he came, was standing in a greater capacity than the first. Amen. Praise the living God. You are more powerful than you know. Amen. I want to stop there for today. Huh? Now, the past few weeks have been strange. Time travel, what? But I feel like you guys are ready for spiritual mysteries. Eh?
Yes.
Yeah, you're ready for them. The day I feel you're not, we shall just go back to Jesus loves you, yes, time. But you're ready for them. Eh? And the purpose of this is to create a hunger and a desire in you. I wish I could tell you what happened when Jesus died, descended in 3 days for another day. You would realize. And now because of that thing that was done on the cross, because of the patterns that the Lord laid, you have the right to say your identity is in Christ. Amen. As he is, so am I in this world. Amen. He's not broke. Amen. He's not sick. Amen. He's not single. He has his father right next to him. Praise the Lord. That means anything is possible. Anything.
Amen.
Anything is possible.
Amen.
May the Lord open your eyes.
Amen.
To the world of angels.
Amen.
To the experience of the Spirit.
Amen.
May God make you a metal detector.
Amen.
Huh? You know those detectors that check for gold and find it in the ground, eh? May you be a walking method. There's gold right here.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
May things flow to you like they did to Jesus.
Amen.
I told someone that Jesus was not poor.
Amen.
A poor man. A normal poor man. Huh? Can't call whatever he wants whenever he wants it. That's not poverty. Just because he didn't have the physical things, you think power is actually, wealth is actually calling things when you want it. And the thing shows up and says, "You called my Lord?" Praise the Lord. Praise the living God.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.